All right. Well, I'm going to tell you, as I told the choir before the service began today, that I owe a great debt to Paul Blomquist for the message I'm about to deliver to you today. I have wantonly stolen it from Paul, who delivered this little meditation at annual conference on Friday morning this past year. Confirmands, I'd like you to take, told you to be prepared now. I don't want you to take a pencil. The rest of you can do this too if you'd like to. I'd like you to find anything that you can write on, a piece of paper, preferably not the cards that have your name on it that you're going to bring forward in a moment, okay? But on the left-hand edge of the paper, I want you to put a big capital B. Okay? Big capital B. Then I want you to draw a line over to the right-hand edge of the paper. Draw a line from the B over to the right-hand side of the paper and draw and make a big capital letter D.
What?
D. A B to a D. And a line in between. Simple, right? There you go. There you go. Somewhere on that line, if that represents your life from birth to death, put an X where you think you are right now. Okay? Give yourselves at least the expectation of 80 years. Maybe 90. Oh, heck. Just make it 100. Okay? Good. And just hold that. Hold that for a second. For a second. Everybody was in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost because it was a holiday that was already established, and so they were there. But you see, the disciples had gone through this experience of losing the one who had given their life purpose. And even after the experience of the resurrection, they were holed up in fear and dejection and dispiritedness. And it was into that moment when the Holy Spirit descended upon them like a dove and filled their life with hope and joy and moved them to get out of the doldrums and out into their life. Life. You got a timeline there now representing your life from birth to death with an X on it, right? So let me ask you this. Jake, what time is it? Yeah, here's my watch, Jake. What time is it? Well, it's getting late, and if you delay any longer, people are going to be here till noon, okay? It's about 20 after, 25 after the hour, right? What time is it? Do you carry a watch? How many of you carry a watch? That's one kind of time. That's called, what's another word for a watch? A watch is sometimes called a chronometer. Did you know that? Yeah, it's sometimes called a chronometer. It's because it is chronos time. That's a fancy Greek word, chronos time. Chronos time is that time which moves from this point in the morning, let's say, till the evening. When you got up this morning, you entered into chronos time once again. Consciousness entered into chronos time once again, early morning, and you're going to follow through on the day until you go to bed tonight. And that's the way our world thinks about time, right? Chronos time as a movement from here to there. And what are you going to do with it? But the Greeks, you see, had different words for different qualities of things. And there's more than one way to think about time. Another way is called kairos time. Kairos time is God's time. Kairos time is expressed in the words of the anthem that the choir sang for us this morning when they said in these words, "Teach me to love thee as thy angels love, one holy passion filling all my frame, the baptism of the heaven descended dove, my heart an altar and thy love. Thy love the flame, my heart the altar, and your love, thy love the flame." Chronos time. We live in Chronos time. We are used to Chronos time, but God calls us to live in Kairos time, meaning to be filled with the Spirit of God every moment of our lives. I know that confirmation is tough, and every week you sit there as this old guy in front of you, that would be me, drones on and on about things like creeds and John Wesley and Charles Wesley and all of those things, as though you're an empty vessel and my job is to fill you up with knowledge. But that's not what I care about at all. What I care about really is that your life begins through this experience to be a process of living in God's time, all the time, no matter what. How can you be filled up with God? You see, it's not that I want you to believe certain things and only certain things. It's not that I want you, when called upon, to recite back to me some do's and don'ts that the church has stood for all these years. It's not that those things lack importance. They are important. But what I really want for you in your life is to be filled up with a sense of the presence of God, like the Holy Spirit burning in your heart. Sometimes it's not even a visible thing. I don't want you to walk around the school hallways with a big heavy cross weighing around your neck and so that everybody points and says, "What are they doing?" That's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is that you begin to understand your life every moment, every day, as an expression of God's presence and God's love. The details of what we believe are important. But what we believe about God are shaped by human beings, for God is a mystery. What I'd like for you, what I'd like for all of us gathered here, is that we learn to live deeply in the mystery of God's love, and that we never, ever give in to all that temptation to live outside of that understanding. That when life gets difficult and we're tempted to be grumpy or in despair, that the Spirit of God will fill us up and we will connect with the hope and the love and the joy that is the Christian life. That you will enter now into a lifetime of exploring the mystery that is God, and that you will learn to live ever more deeply into that mystery all of your life. That's why I said when we write our creeds, don't worry that this is a creed for all of your life. Make it a statement in this moment of what you believe. Acknowledge that what you believe is going to change and grow and be shaped by your experience in life. Connect yourself to those who love you, to churches that care about you, so that you might be nurtured in your faith, so that when the going is tough and life knocks you around a little bit, you'll have that to fall back on. That your life will be an altar and the love of God, the flame in your life. You are going to live your lives, as we all do, so conscious of Chronos time. When do I get up and when do I go to bed? What time is it to show up for school or for work? When do I have to meet the deadline that is demanded of me for this project that I'm working on? That is the tyranny of this culture. But in confirmation, what I'm hoping you will do is that you will learn to live in Kairos time. To live not by a progression of here to there, but in an ever-deepening experience of the mystery of God and the love of God. That is my earnest and sincere prayer for you, and not just for you, but for everybody gathered in this room. It has been, and I will say this publicly, a privilege to work with you through this confirmation class. I love it every year, and I share a joy in this with you. Thank you for your insights. Thank you for your inquisitiveness, for your spiritual inquisitiveness, and for your willingness to engage with the process. Now I pray that God will continue to work in your life as you move ever more deeply into the mystery that is God, and that you will live your life, at least a little bit, setting Chronos aside and embracing the Kairos that God offers us. My apologies to Paul Blomquist for mutilating his message of that Friday evening, but it's a good one for you today. May God bless you in this special moment.